Well, looky here, looky here. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, brought to you by EEJournal.com and hosted by me, Amelia Dalton. On the docket this week is all sorts of EE fun, from new cyborg eyes to making your next user interface better than ever before, and even a little bit about smart embedded vision using FPGAs. All right, you know it, you love it. It's time for a little news you may have missed. Robotic Vision Edition. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, I thought the future of visually impaired people would look like Geordi from Star Trek. You know, with a visor or something along those lines. But now, a team of researchers from Hong Kong University are dashing those dreams once and for all. Okay, maybe there is some hope for a Geordi Star Trek visor in the future, but what this team, led by Ji-Yong Fang, is doing is nothing short of amazing. So what are they doing? Well, they've created the first human-like artificial eye that can be powered by sunlight. Yes, you heard me correctly. So what we're really talking about here is actually a spherical visual sensor that mimics the structure of the human eye. So this new artificial eye measures around 2 inches in diameter and contains a lens and retina like our non-robotic eyes do. But it's in that retina, the region at the back of the eye where photosensitive cells generate electrical pulses to be sent to the brain, where the really cool stuff happens. So these new artificial eyes include retinas that have been made from porous aluminum oxide and then were filled with densely packed nanowires. These wires are important because they're made from a compound called perovskite, which is found most often in solar cells and are very light sensitive. By using this solar compound, these nanowires work almost the same way as the nerve cells do in our eyes. They transmit electrical signals when they are activated by light. But are these solar-powered artificial eyes ready for prime time? Well, not all of the way. This team does point out that right now, the eyes require an external power source to work. But these researchers from Hong Kong University do contend that in the future, each of those nanowires could function as their own small solar cell, making an external power source not necessary. Okay, maybe this is cooler than Geordi's visor, I think. So if you want to dig into even more details about these super cool new artificial eyes developed at Hong Kong University, I've included a couple links below the player on eejournal.com with more information, including what kind of testing was used to make sure these artificial eyes could actually see, and how this technology could lead to even further and cooler biomimetic photosensing devices. All right, from eyes to UIs, here we go. User interfaces aren't easy. I get it. So today we're bringing in Jason Clark from Crank Software to talk all about the challenges of UI design, the details of their unique storyboard platform, and how I can get an embedded app running in minutes. Well, with some help, of course. Let's go. Hi, Jason. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Okay, so first off, what is Crank Software all about?
Crank Software, we're a UI development company, so we help customers of ours develop rich user interfaces for touchscreens all over the world, so either through our tools or through our services.
Okay, great. Now, you guys have a unique platform called Storyboard, so tell me more about that, and you guys say that I can create an embedded app in minutes?
Yeah, so storyboards are a UI development tool, and this all started way back. Me and the co-founders, we all worked in the embedded space, and we saw how hard it was to develop UIs, and then we saw people trying to use things like HTML and Flash in the embedded space, and it was rather painful, and you're taking things from the desktop environment and trying to use them down in a resource-constrained area. So we thought there must be an easier way because all the tools that were focused in that area were very engineering focused. So we wanted to make a tool set that was a lot easier and faster for people to move from the design teams and the UI teams of today, take it to their hardware quicker and easier. So we built a Storyboard, which is our UI development suite. And some of the big things about it is that it brings in the assets from the graphic design team very quickly and easily. How this is so powerful and why we say we can build a UI in minutes is because inside of a lot of times we demo to customers, we can take a Photoshop file and even from them sometimes and build out a couple of screens and interactions and animations and put it down on a live piece of hardware in front of them within like minutes. That pretty much blows their mind, you know, how fast we can do things once you start to changing the workflow of how things are normally done.
Okay, so Jason, tell me about the compatibility story here. What kind of hardware or OS do I have to have in order to use Storyboard?
Well, there's not a lot of restrictions on which hardware OS you use. We support all the way from down to the MCUs, all the way up to the MPUs, so your application processors. So we run down on small boards with limited RAM and flash space, running on something like FreeRTOS or such. And then we run all the way up to the upper end using Linux, QNX, Android on the top end and leveraging like 3D graphics and such. So we cover a wide spectrum and, you know, we really do that to make it easier because a lot of our customers do have products that are at the low, medium, and high range. So they do need a product that allows their design team a single way to express the UI, but then run it on wherever they need to go.
Cool. Now, in addition to GUI design, you guys also offer prototypes and demos, development and integration, and testing and validation. So tell me a little bit about each of those, and I'm especially interested in the development and integration part.
Yeah, so we have lots of customers who come from different backgrounds and different capabilities. So we do have Fortune 500 companies who have a full design team and a VP of user interface and such coming to us, and they already have all their stuff, and they just need our tool and help us out. Sometimes they want us to help augment or grow their development team, so they have some of our engineers working with them. Sometimes we have customers who come to us and ask for a full turnkey solution for a product, so we actually have to build the entire thing. And then along with all different parts of the UI we have to get involved with, and so those are all the different things you see talking about in there, whether it's how do they perform the testing and validation functionality. We can help them build up the infrastructure. Sometimes we do it when we're providing the entire services. Sometimes, you know, we're integrated into the customer's design teams, and sometimes we pretty much are their design teams. And then along on the graphics area, sometimes we're just helping them take their design files and integrating and trying to achieve the look. And on some customers, we've gone as far as actually we have UI graphic designers on staff, and we've actually provided them the UI itself where they didn't have that kind of services. So, you know, it's really end-to-end inside of the UI space for our customers.
Okay, Jason, so if my audience wants to learn more about Storyboard and what Crank software can do for them, where should they go and what kind of learning tools do you guys offer?
Our website is always the number one spot to go to. Inside of there, we have multiple areas. We have our demo images. So what the demo images is all the reference boards that the hardware vendors put out. We have already built pre-built binaries for those boards. So if they just want to see how we look and run on their piece of hardware to get an idea of the performance, they can just download these demo images and try today. If the next step they want to find out a little bit more about Storyboard and give it a try themselves, there is a 30-day eval where they can get right off there. There's links all over the place, so it shouldn't be hard to find on our website. You can click there and just fill in the form and we'll send you a 30-day eval. Also, we have a very strong YouTube presence where you can get a lot of information and walkthroughs. There's webinars there. There's a whole help center where there's a community where they can ask questions and also see all our technical docs and knowledge base articles.
Cool. All right, Jason, it is time for your off-the-cuff question.
Uh-oh.
Now, we're talking about food. Let's go. So I don't know about you, but I've been missing restaurants lately. So if you could have one meal right now, doesn't matter the country it's from, where you'd buy it in the United States or the world, what would you have right now?
Oh, that is a good question. My wife's a vegetarian and I'm not, so we do get a lot of food in that area. So usually I go with Indian or something, but because I've been eating home a lot and not getting my out to dinner, so it'd probably be a good barbecue or steak dinner right now. But that's it's not the hardest one, but you know, to get some really good barbecue would be awesome right now.
That does sound Absolutely delicious. Well, Jason, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks a lot.
Keeping with our vision-filled theme this week, let's talk about embedded vision. Now, any discussion about embedded vision must include AI inference at the edge, of course, because performance and latency demands it. But AI inference also requires massive computing power, which can completely exceed our overall power budget. So, what do we do? Time to bring in some FPGAs. In a recent episode of Chalk Talk called Smart Embedded Vision with Polar Fire FPGAs, I sit down with Avery Williams of Microchip and chat all about how you can use FPGAs to get the machine vision performance you need without blowing your power, form factor, and thermal requirements. And you can check out this episode of Chalk Talk by clicking the link below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com. By heading on over to the Chalk Talk section of EE Journal, you can't miss it, it's right across the top. Or head on over to YouTube, youtube.com/EEJournal. Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And don't forget, if you want to follow my personal Twitter account, check out AmeliaD1978. And hey, if LinkedIn is more your thing, sure, I dig it. You can follow us or me on LinkedIn as well. And we have that YouTube channel I mentioned earlier, youtube.com/EEJournal. Folks, it is chock full of all kinds of techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series hosted by yours truly. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, you can check out the Fish Fry Archive, or subscribe to Fish Fry via Podbean, Spotify, or the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, or heck, if you just want to chat, send me a line at amelia@eejournal.com. I promise I will respond, or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of May 22nd, 2020, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.